Sam. Very nice to be here again this morning, and the last little message till I get back in another couple months or when I can make it. I got here a little earlier this time, you notice. I was going to come back in September. It's not even September. So, but it's certainly my pleasure to be here. I'm telling them I would have been here last Sunday, except that it just got back on Friday. So I couldn't very well get here for Friday night when I just got home around 7 o'clock. And then it wouldn't have been fair coming just Saturday and Sunday, so I'll wait till now and then go to Toronto. It's the same up there. They kind of wait for me to come by because there are not too many men to come by. And I like coming to the small places where the people don't have a pastor until maybe they're able to have one of their own. And I'd still like to come by, of course, if the pastor wanted me to come by. Because I believe that the pastor or the elder that they have is the authority in the church. And no one should ever get between the pastor, the elder, and the people. When they do that, that shows me that they're a Nicolaitan spirit. Now, I hope I never am that way in by intention or unintention, because it shows it's wrong. Always we must abide by the Word. And I don't believe that there is any such thing as abiding by the Word in a deeper sense of the spiritual things of God, unless we do the mechanical things of God. That's why Brother Branham, and not talking about women's short hair, because I don't fuss about that, and we know better, but this is the thing that people couldn't understand why Brother Branham kept talking about women not cutting their hair. He said, if they don't learn their ABCs, how can I teach them algebra? Well, that's certainly true, because algebra is not using numbers, it's using the letters which make words to bring out a formula which can do great things. And if you look at this world here, everything that God made is based upon numbers, because numbers alone measure. See, like there's this microphone is a measurement. This microphone is a measurement. This wire is a measurement, and this bit of steel is a measurement, and this steel in between is measurement. There's nothing that's not measurement. You say spoon. What does a spoon mean? Right away in your mind, it's a measurement. It's a special measurement because it's not a fork. See? So when you want to look at things, you can reduce everything in this world to numbers. Everything is reduced. Even God reduces things to numbers. He changed Abraham's name to Abraham, and so on. Everything, see, everything there is a complete with a number, which is mechanics. So therefore, Brother Branham was right. He said, if you don't learn the mechanics, see, then you'll never learn the algebra. You can't take and learn the algebra, which is A, B, C, D, X, Y, Z, see? You'll never do it unless you got the numbers, which are your mechanics. No short hair, no slack, men doing the right thing, being head of the house, men taking the right authority in the church, and then men getting out of authority where they don't belong, see, intruding in offices. Now, he said, if you don't do that, he said, how am I going to teach you the Word? Well, they don't need to pretend they know the Word. They're liars. No, sir, they don't know the Word. They can scream all they want, show manifestation, and talk so sweet, and be so lovely, and oh my, oh boy, butter wouldn't melt in their mouth. Spiritual adulteresses. See? So is every man. Same shape. Why? Because they won't get down to the mechanics. So we've got to set our faces to apply our hearts to the mechanics, to make sure the mechanics are right. If those mechanics aren't right, you talk all you want. You never get anywhere gone. You just pretend. See? And so we must understand these things that Brother Branham taught that look so picayune, as they say, so minor. They're not at all. Jesus said, a man that teaches men to break the least commandment is least in the kingdom of God. But he that teaches these least commandments and tells men how to live them, that man is great. And there's where Brother Branham was. In simplicity, he was the great teacher of this age. But they looked to education. Well, they said, here's a brother over here with a miracle ministry. He's got two university degrees. Now he's built a university, too. And where is he? Joined the old harlot system. Of course, his business manager said, we never knew when he was wrong. I never knew when he was right. Something like the fellow said, every man after his own taste, so the old maid kissed the cow. Well, I'm not in the cow kissing business. He said, kiss the thumb, lest he be angry with thee. So if you want to kiss the cow, that's okay. They did in the days of Baal, too. They're still kissing the cow, the Egyptian cow. Go ahead. They're worship. Charles, you're a bunch of old maids. When you're married to Christ, you're not an old maid. You're the lawful wedded wife. So, let the old maids have their taste. It's okay. I'm gonna fall for that line of nonsense. Well, I want to bring a message this morning. I hope it's not too long. It all depends on how many thoughts lie in the message. I never know when I start writing them what all's going to be in it. When I get through preaching it sometimes, I still don't know what's in it. And I preach it 3 or 4 times and I begin to realize what God is trying to show me. So maybe one of those cases this morning, trying to teach something the Lord's trying to teach me. But anyway, we'll be able to get enough out of it, I know, that we can go from here to something else within the same message. So let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, once more we ask you to anoint the word, O God, that's delivered by the mouth and heard by the ears. I pray, Lord, that this ear and the mouth, the word, Lord, and the mouth and the ear be all one by the Spirit of God. And what a tremendous thing that would be. Even, Lord, if we all did not become one with it here, it would still be a tremendous thing to have this happen amongst us. This would be the greatest thing in the world. Even if it did condemn us, it would still be the great thing. And so, Lord, we're looking to that this morning, at least to be lined up this far, O God, which we believe will be lined up even further, that we might be one with Thee, Lord Jesus, and one with each other by this very thing we talk of. So, Lord, we're looking and aiming at the high thing this morning. So, Lord, as Brother Branham often said, you could shut the lion's mouth. Shut our mouths, Lord, in case something wrong be said. Don't let it be said, Lord. And don't let anything be heard but what is heard according to truth. And we'll be careful, Lord, to give you the praise in Jesus' name because thou art worthy. Amen. Now, I want to speak on reflecting the word. And you'll find that Brother Branham used this very thought that I'm going to use this morning. And he brought out the things that I'll be bringing out, but I'll be teaching it with other scriptures, following through on the subject. Now, I'm not sure just what sermon he preached about reflecting the word, but it's not the title of a sermon he gave, but it's a major theme in one of his messages, and I'm just sorry that my mind is so poor, I can't tell you which one it is, but it's what he taught in this respect. And I'm going to try, by the help of the Lord, to bring it up. 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. This has always been a beautiful portion to me. I've always looked at this with great interest because I know something wonderful is here. And I don't claim that I've got it, but I'm going to talk about some of it. Beginning at verse 7. But if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones was glorious. Now remember, it was written in stone, so it couldn't be changed. Remember when Moses, to get rid of the word, he had to break it and destroy it. He had to fragment it. So it's far better to junk the word of God. Right. Far better to junk it. Throw it away. Than to break one word or add to it. See? Now here's your picture. He had to take those stones, and his anger, he just shattered it because the people weren't listening. Why give them the word? The minute you do, you bring either life or death. That word that brings life brings death. The people don't believe that. The entrance of thy word, O Lord, bringeth light and life. Oh, sure, quote it all you want, but it'll kill you too. You're judged by this word. He said, by your words you're condemned, and by your words you're judged. But he said, which of you can find me wrong in one word? That word in the Greek is confute. Which of you can confute one word? Find one word I'm wrong in. See? So, we know the story here. This ministration, see, it brought death. The children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance. Which glory was to be done away? How shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather or more glorious? That word rather means much more. For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness is exceeding glory. That's something like the 5th chapter of the book of Romans here. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory which excelleth. By reason, I guess you want to get this here. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. And not as Moses, which had put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts. Notice he said that Moses is read. He doesn't call it the Word of God, he calls it Moses. Yet if you today would relate Brother Branham to such a position as this, they'd say, oh, they'd scream Holy Mother, wouldn't they? Oh, such delightful, beautiful, righteous indignation of these holy, holy, holy people. Now, pardon the sarcasm. I'm just being sarcastic on purpose. So I want you to get the point. He said, I can't stand hypocrisy anymore than you can. Oh, my. Paul was sarcastic over them, too. Oh, he said, you can stand your face smitten. He said, you turn the other cheek. Oh, yeah, he laid it on. But you don't even know where you're standing. See? My, Moses is red. Not that I can, when Moses is red. A man. See? The veil is still upon their heart. You start reading William Branham and see what happens. That'll lift any veil. You say, well, I can't read William Branham. And why read Moses? Why read John? It's strange how man even calls the book of John. Why call the book of John? That's blasphemy. Got to be blasphemy there if it's blasphemy here. You can't have two kinds of blasphemy. Make up your mind. That's what Jesus said to those Pharisees we talked about last night. He said, sure. He said, you killed him. He said, oh, my, how you can defend Moses. Oh, boy, how you talk about Isaiah. He said, you're 10 times worse than the guys that killed him. I'm going to bring all the wrath of God upon your head, this generation. Why, but not just a minute now, Lord. We love those guys. We didn't do it. He said, shut up. You turned down the very thing for this day. The end time message for their day. Turned it down. You tell people that day. See, this is why I'm sold on this message. Why I preach it so hard. I don't say anything up but this message. Tongues interpretate. Sure, they're fine. That's great. Bless you. Have them. Be my guest. I've had it for years. Not against it. Fine if you want. But I'll never trade you this revealed word for 1,000,000 years of talking in tongues and prophets and everything else. Because all of that fails. But the word of the Lord never fails. See? The revealed word of Christ. See? Nevertheless, when it, what? It, the mind. See? People don't understand that in Pentecost. They read about the mind and they get scared of Christian Science. And Brother Branham comes along and says, open your mind. The mind is the womb. Oh, no, my heart is the womb. Oh, God has it. Why don't they shut up? See? Shut up and listen. Don't be fooled. Spiritually stupid and ignorant. If you think your heart is so smart, put the Bible over your heart to see what it does. Go ahead and say, now, Lord, it won't come by my mind. There's no use. I'll just put this over my heart. Hallelujah. You can get the first base. It's got to come by the mind. See? Open your mind. It says right here, a veil is upon the mind. Rip that veil down, said Paul. Bring every thought into captivity. To Jesus Christ, receive this gospel. Go ahead. You got a Holy Ghost filter. Don't talk about the Holy Ghost filter and start running scared. Boy, I want to tell you what. Like I told you, I was there in this meeting one day, and I was down around the not meeting. I was in Florida there, and I began telling these women when they knew I was a preacher. They right away, you know, bowing your head, you know, cluck 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 cluck, you know, cluck the old roosters in the pen, cluck cluck cluck, you know. So I let them have it. I said, I believe in one God. They ran it. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. You can't do a thing with him. His mind has been closed. Got a Pentecostal veil, got a Methodist veil, got a Baptist veil. Here. A few years ago, I mentioned that Baptist method. Squawking, running for the help from their preacher. They're Seventh-day Adventists, they're Methodists, they're all the rest of them. They were deader than doornails. They didn't have a thing. The Pentecostal did have something. I was in a Bible school as a Baptist. Boy, when I started talking about these, you should have heard them all. Fuck, fuck, fuck. Those Baptist hens began running for cover because they heard an eagle. Sure. Here it is right here. Boy, I tell you what, this, I don't believe the gospel's void of humor. I just because I have a little humor, I don't mean to be sacrilegious. I wouldn't want to be sacrilegious and make fun. I'm not making fun of the Word. I'm making fun of the thing out there. I'm showing what the Word does. See, their minds are closed. See? That's the whole thing. You got the wrong thing up here. You got to get rid of that up there. You got a Holy Ghost river. What are you running for? What are you scared of? Pentecost claimed they got the Holy Ghost, and they had to write a little book so the evil wouldn't come in. They said, well, what it is we organize in order to keep out evil. Oh, did they, huh? What about the church in Lethbridge? They had so many preachers that seduced so many women that belonged to the organization. What they were trying to tell you was this, you don't let any strange studs into the building except the one with our brand on. I pardon my language, but I'm going to pin her right down where it is. This may be crude, but let's face it. And they turned out the Lord Jesus Christ in doing it? Sure. Their Pentecostal brood mares were impregnated by the creed and the dogma of this world, showing right now where they're at. They turned down the prophet of God, and they took tongues as the Holy Ghost. Blasphemed the very Spirit of God in the end time prophet, said it was the devil. What are they pregnant with? What are they going to bring forth? An antichrist. I'm using the language Brother Branham used, but I'm using it a little bit rough, and I don't mean to be dirty, because that's not the point. But let's face it, people just don't understand anything, Dave, unless you put it on a billboard 20 feet high and say, look at it! Yeah, they don't understand it. Taught you last night the truth. They still don't understand what it's explained. There's still got to be revelation. You say, well, how can it be? It just told you. See? Sure, that's the thing. Oh, I'll get to my subject later on. Don't worry. Nevertheless, when it's the mind shall turn to the Lord, the veil should be taken away. God says, I'll take that veil off. You open your mind. See? Now, the Lord is that Spirit. Now, how in the name of common sense now can you have two gods there? Jesus is Lord. He is that Spirit. Now, where's your two gods? Like the buddy got the revelation when the Lord said, let us make man their image. That was God talking to Jesus. How could he talk to somebody who wasn't even born? Oh, brother. Then they run around trying to be teachers. You know that that's the curse, has always been the curse of the age? Whenever a prophet came on the scene, men rose up who thought they were going to teach the message. They say they believe it. That's what's the curse in the world today. You've got a million preachers preaching a million rotten lies about the word that God gave in this book. See? Like I told you, a man goes around and he said, I just can't talk to preachers, then I'll know what they believe. And then he said, you see, when I go in their pulpits and correct what they teach, he said, I grieve the Holy Ghost. So I say, sir, in other words, us preachers are wrong, that my friends out here are wrong, that you go to their pulpits, and you've got to stay away from them because you're the great teacher. Well, I can pick up 15 errors in one sermon about he preached. Well, he made Brother Branham that mighty angel that came down from heaven and stood on land and sea. That was the Lord Jesus Christ by the pillar of fire. William Branham said so. So don't say it was William Branham. Don't even identify as William Branham. He was not that one. He was on earth the same time that one came down. So then don't tell the people that. A friend of mine was preaching on manifested sons of God, and he came along and he said, he said, you're wrong in what you're teaching. My little friend, the pastor, was teaching exactly the Word of God, and right away I said, if he corrected you, son, I'll know what he corrected you on, and he's got the old Pentecostal theory there. None of us are real sons of God, so what it is, we got to be adopted into the family. And that's what he was teaching, the old Pentecostal hogwash, bypassing the doctrine of sovereignty of God, election, predestination, teaching a bunch of junk, and then saying he's going around to correct the preachers. He better get some correction himself. Prophet never taught that. So he can quote it. I don't care if he can quote all the tape backwards. The devil can quote this Bible forward and backwards too. Nicolaitan spirit. People don't even tumble to it. If I ever come and told you, you listen to me, and when I come, I've got a final word, when have I ever told you that? If I ever tell you that, you say, Brother Bill, it's nice knowing you. There's the door. And I'll know what you mean because I already put in your mouth for you. You listen to the Word of God. You listen to what the prophet said. And if I get off that word or say one thing he hasn't said, If I say one thing I cannot back up by Scripture and bring it out plain as water, you just say, Brother Bill, just stop right there. But that's what they did, and Brother Branham, he loved it. He said, oh, I love that. He said, when those false prophets came in there, they'd heard these people that were taught by Paul. They said, hold it right there. You're false apostles. You're not saying what Paul did. You're not showing any great love and respect if you sit in your seats and hear a man come in here and say something that Brother Branham didn't say, and you know it. You're not showing any wisdom or any humility. Oh, brother, what are you? Just a milksop or an old sponge or something. You haven't got any filter. Huh? I don't mean to be rough now. I don't want to lay it in the line so you can see it. And if I'm wrong, like the Apostle Paul said, if I come back and change one word, and you just shut my mouth and say, Paul, hold it right there. What you got wasn't from God in the first place then, because now you've done changed it. See? When that revelation comes. Now, a man may be seeking God for revelation, and he may teach something wrong before the revelation comes. But, brother, when that revelation hits, if that's a revelation, it's right with that word. There's where Brother Branham was. He told us he used to teach about the white horse rider taught it wrong. He used to teach about love being the evidence. He knew he taught it wrong. When God gave the revelation, he said, I know then. Now, you better believe when he pinned it down. See? Because the end time was not going to be the whole thing en masse like Paul had. It was going to be line, precept upon precept. Brother Branham, you see, a precept is not. What is a precept? It is a precept is a law. Like a precept today would be, for instance, a precept would be the fulcrum and the bar. You put the fulcrum here, and you put the bar here, and you know where the fulcrum is to where the weight is applied, multiplied by the arm here, shows what pressure you got to put upon to lift the weight multiplied by the arm to the fulcrum. That's a precept. Now what you got to do to prove it, you take and say, does it work? And you take various weights and lift it up and down, you show it works. Well, that's the way the law is. Brother Branham got before a serpent seed. He blurted it out. And then they say, well, Brother Branham, what about this? He said, I don't know. I can't tell you right now. I know I'm right. See? Because he knew he had thus saith the Lord. Then line by line and word by word it came to him. Now then, he said, he didn't have thus saith the Lord on who that white horse rider was. But when the day came when the revelation hit, he knew it was God, and he still couldn't explain it all. But then line by line and word by word, we do the same thing. See? That's how it is in the end. It wasn't like when Paul just wrote the whole thing out or John wrote it. No, you're in a different place. God tells you in Isaiah 28 what it's going to be like. So don't change it. Well, you know, Brother Branham, he did say this over here, so he can't be the prophet of God. Oh, come on. Now read your Bible. Don't be unbelieving. Open your mind. This is the only man that had thus saith the Lord. You got to hear him. Well, I don't know if I should hear him because, you see, he said this. I don't care what. I'm not going to make God lie. He said, you listen to that man. I'm going to listen to that man. Now listen to anybody else. I tell you, I wouldn't care if Brother Branham was a hypocrite, which he ain't. I still got to hear him because God said so. God said, you hear David. Why should I hear that old bird? He did things I wouldn't do. 500 wives and lust after another. Boy, what kind of a guy does he think he is? Some Don Juan sex maniac? Phew, I can touch him with a 40-foot pole. Oh, yeah? They wounded my hands and my feet, said David, speaking in the first person. Huh? Sure. Veil upon the mind. Tear it down. As Brother Brown said, just drift away from your own thinking for once. Just get away from it. Now, you and I can't do what he did, so we got to tear these veils off of our mind and say, the prophet said it. I don't understand it. There's something over here that sounds like there's a contradiction, but that's okay by me. I'll get it later on. Just hold it. See? Now, the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. What is liberty? It's the power to be right. You're unbound. You're free. You'll do what's right. A man that's a sinner is not free because he cannot do what is right. It's only the man that's entirely free in the Lord can do what is right because he's under the Spirit of God, which is complete freedom. But we all with open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed to the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, my text is the 18th verse. Finally getting to my text. I might get to the context later. We all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Master, that's Jesus, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, by the Spirit of the Lord.
Now, the word I'm talking about here is beholding in a glass. That does not mean beholding. It is reflecting. We are to reflect the Lord, the literal face of Christ. There's a reflection there. We all looking in the Word are to reflect the Lord in that Word. Now, in this scripture here, we see a most wonderful experience related to us in the life of Moses. Moses stood before the pillar of fire for the reception of the Word and came back reflecting the same fire, which was the Logos, which was the Word. Moses came back reflecting the manifested Word, see, which was the pillar of fire. It was reflected on his face shone. Now this seems to be a high point in human history, something out of the course of normal events. But this is not true. It is not something abnormal like a mutation. You know, scientists tell us, the so-called scientists tell us, that we're nothing but evolved creatures. And you can only evolve through a mutation. Something goes wrong in a species, and it doesn't hold true to pattern, and out of this accident comes something different. Well, where is all the rest of the accidents in? How come we're the lucky accidents? You can see the theory of mutation is the stupidest jackass thing under high heaven, and yet a man calls himself Brisma, brains of the louse. Why should I insult the poor louse? It didn't do anything to me. God calls him a fool, and he is a fool. That's all you can say, and just leave him stinking his mess. Mutation? See? And yet people look at this scripture like it were a mutation. Paul did not say it was a mutation, a once in a million or 100 million happy accident. It's to this reflecting the Word, as Moses did, is the pattern of God in the believer. What it was that nobody else was reflecting the Word at that time. So now Moses, by the grace of God, reflects the Word in such a dynamic, wonderful manner, they stand and say, ah, oh, wonderful Moses. Oh, my. Of course, this will never happen to us. It's such a pity. Yes, it just once for Moses. And oh, my. Wouldn't it be nice if it just could, even a teensy. No, it's not that kind of experience. This should be the normal course of every Holy Ghost Word believer, to reflect the Logos, which is the Word. See? Now I'm going to prove this by the Bible, and we go to the book of Genesis. We go to chapter 1, verse 26, and you all know it. And the Lord God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, the cattle, all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. All right? With that, Genesis 5, 1 to 2. This is the book of the generation of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of man made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Now you'll notice here that God made man in his own image. This is what the scripture says. And he says it to us more than once. According to these verses, the first man was the image or the reflection of his creator. Because the image is a perfect reproduction. And that's what a reflection is. It is a perfect reproduction. It's the same thing looking back at you. So therefore, when God made Adam, he saw himself looking back at himself. Adam reflected God. He was made in his image. And we know that this is to be the normal pattern of every son of God, because everything is after its kind. There is nothing that God made that is not after his kind. If Adam was in the image of God and reflected God, then every son of God is in the image of God and must reflect God. See? He must reflect that Word, because in the beginning was the Word, and all things were made by that Word. So therefore, Adam was the reflection of the Word. And every son of God is to be a reflector of that Word. Now notice, God never had a purpose to reflect man. Many people think he did. They think that God was bringing many sons, and that God was reflecting. Now you and I are in that strange position of reflecting through our children. See, they're our reflection in this sense. But remember, God never made man that God would reflect man. See, God doesn't. Man looks at God, and God does not reflect man. Man must look at God and reflect God. See? Because he's the originator, he's the creator. There's a big difference if you're getting my picture here, which you can break it down spiritually as we go along. Because God is sovereign. See? He had a purpose in himself, and that purpose was himself to be reflected. See? That's true. That's why we said a while ago, before the meeting here, so one of the brothers said, I think it was Don, mentioning that you can say anything to God you want in your prayer, and God is not bound to back it up. Won't do it. If God were to back up your prayers and not his word, then he would be reflecting you. See? And that's where we put God today. We have put God reflecting man. God never did this, nor will God ever do it. Man was made to reflect God. The purpose that God had himself was to have a people that reflected him. The reflection was not in angels, nor in archangels, nor in cherubim, nor any creation. God is not reflected in nature. He's seen in nature, but he is not reflected. He cannot be, see? How wrong, therefore, for man to try to make God reflect man? If God would reflect man, then man becomes God. There you are. Now, I hope you got it. The Laodicean concept, we will not bow down to the Word, we will not operate in the framework of the Word, and they put a man on the throne and call him God. And what do? They make themselves God because they attempt to make God reflect themselves. Now, isn't that Pentecostal anarchy? And women preachers. Well, I've got a call from God. Hallelujah, Brother Bale, said this woman down here at this little, you know, little meeting you had down here the first time I was here. She just smiled. I said, sister, there ain't no such thing as women preachers. She said, you poor ignorant sloth, she was saying to me. So sweet and so sweetly hurt. I've been crushed. You know. So sweetly. She knew better because she was God. You know what she's doing? She's making herself God. She was saying, God, you reflect me. God, you stand up there and acknowledge women preachers because we're telling the world, you called us. He said, shut up and sit down. He said to Moses, when Miriam tried that trick, he said, it were better her father spit in her face and fed her to the crocodile. Oh, but what did she do? She just stood up and rebuked the man is all she did. What do you think is going to happen with women who rebuke men? Yeah, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think there's going to be one of those make the bride? You're wrong. People think women are going to make most of the bride. I've got news for you. Ain't going to be one woman there who doesn't line up with this word ever makes that bride. I don't care how sweet she is or how smart she is or anything else. She ain't going to make it. I'm not being tough on women now. This goes for men too, but you see, for years, men and women both have figured women really just inclined toward the Lord more, and they were sweeter, and therefore they're better Christians. There's more of them. Hogwash. She was a woman of Pharaoh. We'll talk about that this morning, don't we? Not just typing. Now, not my sisters in Christ. They're perfect. Not a thing wrong with them. They're absolute in his righteousness. But we're talking about women because they type the church, see? So you cannot make God reflect you. See? People going to prayer closets and closing the door and demanding God give them a gift in the face of the word that it says the Spirit sovereignly gives gifts to whom he wants. Now then, God has already said in the Old Testament, the Psalms, he said, I'll give you what you want, but you're going to have a lean soul. Have you ever seen leaner souls than these men running around gift ministries? Leanest souls you ever saw. Tell some poor widow, sell all you got and give it to me because I've got a great burden for the Lord and the souls are crying. Give us the money and we'll do the job, you lying hypocrite, you. How come God didn't give you $1 million instead of the Holy Ghost, you John? How come Jesus was born in a cattle barn surrounded by manure? Why didn't he tell him? Why didn't he bring him down here in a cloud of glory, kick old Herod, and kick him out of the temple, grab a grip, and throw him up by the hair, and tell Peter, shut up, I'm taking over. He's going to do it one of these days. And a bunch of raggedy, taggedy old nincompoops like you and me that are beaten down here and everybody laughs and giggles about us stupid jerks of believing Brother Banner, we're going to come and take the kingdom with him. Hallelujah. We're going to be standing right here on earth, brother, sister, because he said in the days of those four kingdoms, he's going to set his kingdom up on earth. And when those dead come out of the ground and you and I are changed, we're going to be standing here on earth to take the kingdom over, but we're going to wait for him to burn it down. We don't want this tripe and junk they got here. Let these boys fight over who's got Europe and who's got America and who's got India and who's going to baptize and whose name. I'm going to say, just leave Jesus. I won't even baptize anybody. I'll just talk about your word, and I don't want any of it until you purify, and then I'll come back with you. Hallelujah. In the meantime, they can all fight. Yeah. Lie about it. I don't care what they do. Man alone was made to reflect God. What a divine gift. Now, why do you want to change it? Why do they want to change it? Man was meant to reflect God. And why try to make God reflect us when we know what a mess we are? Isn't that great? God reflects us. Well, I prayed about it. See, notice how the fall came now. While Eve was in Adam physically, the image was perfect. See, one image. God and Adam in perfect harmony and co-ruler in nature on the earth. That's what they were. Notice how perfectly he reflected God in wisdom. Over here in the book of Genesis 2:19-20, and out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them, and whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name. Man, how did he figure those things up? Yeah, Adam gave names to all cattle. He said, that's a Hereford over there. That's an Aberdeen or something over there, where he called me the Angus, and he said, that over there, he said, that's a Shorthorn. I'll just call that a Jersey, so to speak, you know. Cattle, and he said, that over there is a horse. Yeah, he said, look at that kid. Look at that cute little gopher running around there. How'd he know? How'd he know? He was co-ruler with God. Wisdom. Nature of God in that man. Reflecting God, calling all those names. How could he talk? Where'd he get his ability? Lift his hands and know how to take the plant. Take this plant over here and put it over there. See, or prune it. Maybe just say, now branch, you're in the wrong place. Now just come over here. That's nice. Now don't grow so fast here. That's right. Now slow down. Come on, speed up here. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Brother Brown said in the garden of Eden, there wasn't one bent limb. There wasn't one tree out of symmetry. See? Adam was doing this. See? He was co-ruler in this way in nature upon earth with the Lord. And he reflected the wisdom of God perfectly. Because through him came that word of revelation and wisdom out here in nature. He could place it. See? And he placed it in nature, what God gave. See, one day when the bride comes into her home, you watch what she'll do. Now, notice what happened in Genesis 21-23. That's the second chapter. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and he brought it unto the man. And the man and the Adam said, this is now bone of my bone. Notice what he said. This is bone of my bone, and flesh of my flesh, and she shall be called woman because she was taken out of me. All right? Wonderful. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11th chapter and see what Paul's got to say about it. Because the Bible, as Brother Branham says, got to run in continuity or forget it. Okay, we go to 1 Corinthians 11, the third verse, to read verse 7. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ. Well, that's good. The head of every woman is the man. Exactly. Because she was taken out of man. See? And the head of the Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonors his head. Got it covered up, letting his hair grow, dishonors his head. Every woman that prayeth, or prophesied with her head uncovered with short hair, dishonors her husband. For that is all even one as if she were shaven, which means her husband is dead, or she's a prostitute, or she's going to marry somebody else because her husband is dying. If her husband dies, and she's going to remarry, then her hair stays the way it is. But the minute her husband dies, and she wants to remarry, and she shaves her head, and she lets it grow, because he's under a new headship entirely. Short hair shows, cut hair shows, the woman the church is saying, I don't belong to Christ. Oh, I say I do. And you know, a husband's a very convenient thing. Who are you? Said, oh, I'm Mrs. Smith. I'd like those birth control pills, because she wants a finugle down here with Mr. Jones. Oh, it's handy to be married. And the men know it too. They say, if you want a safe bet, get a married woman. Then if there's an accident, of course, he takes the blame. Rotten, stinking prostitutes. the filthiest form of adultery. Shows what the church is in today. She cut her hair. She said, I belong to Jesus. It's a great cover-up. Hallelujah, glory to God. I even shout in tongues and dance in tongues, but I've got my fornications down here with every dog in the country. A Methodist doctrine, a Baptist doctrine, a creed, and a dogma. She's defiled herself. A filthy prostitute, not just one, but many. Her lovers by the score, so to speak. And what she hasn't got from the Baptist, Presbyterians, and the Methodists, and the rest of them, she makes up on her own. See? Now, I could say something here, but it would sound too... wouldn't sound good, so I just won't say it. Listen. Better she said, clear to be shaved. Own up to God you don't believe. Own up you're not a child of God. Stand up and tell. Quit being a hypocrite. Stand up just once in the midst. See? He said to the woman, which is the church. For if the woman be not covered, let her be shorn. But if it's a shame for one to be shorn, let her be covered. I'd like to go around the bald head. I'm talking about the women of the church now, not the women that are sisters. I'm talking about the church. What would we woman feel like if you had a razor in your head and your head was shaved up? You know what you'd do? You'd hide in disgrace, right? But look at your sisters out there. They're filthy and they haven't got enough brains to hide. They've got a sex spirit on them and they don't even know it. Better be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he, now notice, as much as he is the image and the glory of God. God put his glory in that sun to reflect him. What a glory to reflect him. See? Who? The Logos. In the beginning was the Word. See? He was made an image of the Word. And he reflects that word. See? The woman, though, is the glory of man. Why? Because she wasn't made in the image of God. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman is of the man. See? And so on. Now listen. The woman in flesh is not the image of God. She isn't. When she was separated from Adam's flesh, she was not in the image of God. See, she wasn't. She is the image in the image and the glory of man. That's what the Bible says. She's not in the image of God. She's in the image of the man. She's not the glory of God. She's the glory of the man. She came out of man. So that is the best she could aspire to, being the glory of man. But you think she's going to do it? Not these women. They said, we're equal as men. Just this last week, they had a parade. Wednesday, wasn't it? And they were praying all day. We're liberated. We're equal to you men. We can cuss like you. We can smoke like you. We can drink like you. We got your job. You filthy, rotten wretch. You left your glory. You were supposed to reflect the man. You're made in the image of man. You're supposed to reflect him. But will you do it? No, you won't do it. Who was that great man? Jesus. You think the modern day church reflects him? Now remember, he's a man. It's not God that's pleading for you. It's the man Christ Jesus is your mediator. It's the man that's your intercessor. It's the man that tells God what to do. Because God was in that man. See? The woman comes along. Now she's going to tell God. She's co-equal now. She said, I'm co-equal. She said, I'm equal to man. Yet, liar. She's not even fit to be called a streetwalker. That's your church today. Type in the woman out there in the street, cutting her hair out, blowing smoke rings, everything out. You talk about a filthy man, they got the vote. This and that and the other thing. And that's where the church is right today, because it will not reflect the Word of God. It'll do everything contrary and stand up and make itself God. That's exactly what the Bible teaches at the end time. There's your lawless one. I hope it's clear to you. It gets so clear to me as I preach, and then, of course, I go home and I forget what I preach, and it's not clear anymore. But I hope you can get the same feeling I'm getting and the same understanding as I preach it. May God anoint your minds like He's trying to anoint mine to see how clear this is. It's identical with what Brother Branham taught. It's exactly what he taught. But we weren't seeing it when he taught. Time wasn't right. Yeah, now we got to explain it and get the revelation too. Now listen, she came out of man, so the best she could aspire to would be the glory of man. Now she wants to get rid of him. Once she says we're equal, the next step is she said we're more than equal because we can outlive the man. See? And we're smarter, too. Yeah. Isn't that the next step? You put a man up there, the next thing is God. You're going to worship him like God. You get to write your creeds and dogmas because some man's over you, and then you turn around and you're trapped. You see why I preach like I preach Friday night? Hear the tape again. Hear it again. Hear it two or three times. You get it. It's all over here. If God shut my mouth, if I take any authority over anybody outside of simply preaching this word of God and you do what you want, like I say to my own family, may God kill me tomorrow. If it's a favor to me, let God destroy me. Feed me to the dog. Correct me and feed me to the dog. And I mean that. Now, that is very wonderful for the woman to reflect the man and be his glory because he was the true son of God. But that is not enough. See? For man to produce that much is good, but it is not enough for the woman. Where does that leave her? Adam produced Eve. She came out of him. It was a divine act of God, but he produced it. That's fine for Adam. That's a good job. What about her? It leaves her completely flat. She falls short of the man. She reflects him, or Adam, but she does not reflect God. See, unless she comes through that man. We're not talking about a physical man. Now we're just about Jesus. He's got to take the two back and forth. How true this is, for she caused Adam to fall. Adam could not fall. How could he fall? How could the Son of God fall? What would be in it? She caused him to fall. Why? Because she came out of him. And she was his glory, his image. He was the glory of God, and he was the image of God. He reflected God, but the best she could do is reflect him. Now, where does that leave the men today? Now, who made the street walker? The preachers. Sure. That's right. Who made the women sin, cut the hair? The preachers. Oh, they said, it's okay, honey. Well, you see, oh, God doesn't look on the outside. He looks on the heart. And bless you, darling daughter, if your heart is clean, and you can wear those men's clothes. If her heart was clean, she wouldn't wear men's clothes. That lying hypocrite scum. So what's he doing? She's going to reflect his image now. You know why Brother Branham screamed? Listen, don't you get the picture? Look at that rock and roll witchy fallen America for flouncing her bare buttocks. That, you see that picture Barbara Streisand? Which went up to take her award? Billy Paul showed me. It's a vision his dad had. Here she is completely bare in the buttocks with a strap in the crotch and a little panel in front. And she walks up that. Oh, how unspeakably filthy! And Brother Branham saw that same rock and roll harlot as the church. See? And he said, oh, God, is this the best us preachers could produce? That's the best they produced. Just like Adam, he produced that lovely little girl, and she fell for the devil. And he said, oh, my God, I just can't stand that. I got to put my hand on it and identify. But do you think God identified as that dirty rock and roll prostitute? With the newspapers covering her up, with that witch-like cap on, with a jive rock and roll music, he didn't identify. He waited to bring up a bride, clean and dressed. He said, I've had enough. I'm taking my hands off the whole bunch. They're going to come up with a bride now. I'm looking for somebody clean. The best Adam, look at the best Adam could produce. The best the preachers produce today. God's going to take that? He's going to take a hand-picked bride from somewhere. He's got to make those stones become children. Don't think God's anybody fool. She caused Adam to fall, certainly. A true son of God could not fall. She fell. She was deceived. She was in the transgression, not Adam. Let's go and prove it. I'm not running down women now, so don't get excited. I don't think you are, but sometimes men get excited because they want to treat the women like a dirty piece of dirt then. They say, oh, this woman's filthy. Woman isn't filthy. No, sirree. She's just as much a member of Jesus Christ as she's a sister in the Lord. I'm just showing what the church is, see, because it's packed by women. And if you want to look at the atoms around, they sure don't do very good for God, do they? All right. Let's see. Did I say Romans? I meant 1 Timothy. I got to go to Romans later. But just hold your finger there. And let's go to Timothy. Got to read it first. 1 Timothy 2:14. Now, let's read it here from verse 11. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived. Why? Because the word of God didn't come to her. It came to Adam. The woman was being deceived within the transgression. That's exactly right. But let's go to Romans, the 5th chapter, 12 to 14. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. What was the law in the garden? Don't you dare pervert the word. Don't you dare take that which I made good and somebody changed. See, you think for one minute God would have in his own tree a rotten limb? And where did that tree of the knowledge of evil come into? That tree of the knowledge of good. Somebody grafted it in there. Somebody added it in there. Or somebody would take an axe and lop it off if it was true and push in that which is wrong. See, that tree. Changing the word of God. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression. The Bible said Adam did not transgress in one place. The next place it said he did transgress. What's he talking about? Two different things. Two different things. Adam was not in the transgression of Eve. She was the one that committed adultery. See? How could Adam transgress? Let's go back to Genesis 1, 26, 28. God said, let us make man our own image, and so on. I read that. Verse 27, the male of, in the image of God, he made them male and female, created them. And he said in verse 28, God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and so on. And he gave them the herb of the grass, of the field, and everything else to do. Now notice, God gave Adam the function of fathering his own kind. Now notice that. God gave Adam the commandment, gave him the order to multiply, to father his own kind, and he gave a woman after the kind of Adam, which was stepped down from God, that she could reproduce him. God commanded Adam to multiply. That's while he was still one person as she was in him. She was absolutely one with him. Now listen, I said God gave him a commandment. Now listen, to obey God is life, to disobey is death. 3:16, Genesis. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sore and thy conception, and sore thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. I really meant verse 6 here. The woman saw the tree was good for food. It was pleasant to the eyes, a tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also to her husband with her. And he did eat. Whatever she did was the transgression. Then when he did it, because he wasn't in the transgression with her, then when he did it, he was in the transgression. Now, we must be careful here. This is no physical tree that you eat fruit of. Because it says over here in the book of Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9 and 17 that God made every tree that was good for food to grow out of the ground. And a tree that will kill you is not good for food, so therefore it did not come out of the ground. So it's not a physical tree. See? What is this physical tree in the Garden of Eden? It is over here in the book of the Songs of Solomon. And people don't call what Eve did was eating an apple, and yet they don't even know what the apple was. Let's look at the Songs of Solomon. Ecclesiastes, Songs of Solomon. It's the second chapter. This was stuck together, can't even find it. All right, the third verse. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. What's he know? Stick? Dead? Petrified? Huh. The young woman's talking about a young man. She's in love. I sat down under his shadow, the apple tree, and with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. What was it? His old apple tree.
He brought me, what was he, Apple Eve 8? He brought me in his banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Now listen, his left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O daughter Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds, that you dare not stir up or wake my love till he please. What's she talking about? She's sleeping in bed as a man. It's sex. Absolutely unadulterated, pure, and undefiled, permissive, commanded will of God to have sexual intercourse. There's nothing dirty about it. There's nothing rotten about it. It's absolutely ordained and clean of God. The bed is undefiled. And she has a young lover that she's married to, and she is talking about the sex act, eating apples. It's strange how people say Eve ate an apple. There's no Bible says she ate an apple. Where did they get it was an apple? Right from the Songs of Solomon. It is an apple. Love apple, so to speak. It is the act which she committed. Now listen, it was to bring forth light, which she was commanded to do. And don't worry, this act will do it. See? Eve took the wrong tree, the wrong instruction on the Word of God. Satan deceived her and she was trapped. But what about Adam? If sex was his sin, and man was capable of intercourse for reproduction, how can this be his transgression? Because he was told to do it. Well, let's look closely and find out. Eve let Satan interpret the word of God to her, and he added to it. Like as I said before, he said, didn't God tell you to multiply and replenish the earth? She said, yeah. Well, did he tell you how to do it? No. He said, I'll tell you. And he could. Their seed was so close, he could bring four children. Because that was her job. She was given to Adam to reproduce a son like him. not like the devil. Adam listened to Eve. And though he did not add or take from the word, because he was commanded to multiply, his sin was to take to himself an adulteress and bring life forth through her at an improper season. For you must not only add to the word or take from it, neither can you misplace it. See? This was misplaced. God had said be fruitful and multiply, but he didn't say when. See? God had said take this word to the whole world, but he didn't say women do it. See? God had said the woman tries to please her husband, but he said don't cut your hair. God said the woman would please the man, but he said, wash your clothes. So is the bride supposed to please Christ, but watch how you do it. Don't think you're going to please Christ by having your own way and say, Lord, you do it my way. I see your word here. That's fine. I'll just go ahead and do it. I'll pray for anybody. I'll do anything here. I'll testify here and do this and do that. You find where God ever did that. Here was Jesus Christ, God himself in flesh. Did he pray for everybody? Did he testify to everybody? And where did he get all this nonsense? The woman reflecting man. The woman reflecting her creeds and her dogmas. Her organization, her head, which is her husband. See, first, all word of God has a season, or why are there seven church ages with seven different messages, all bringing out the same revealed Christ? Because Christ is the bride and the bride is Christ, and she's added to word by word through the ages, and she will produce that same word until the full manifestation, as God was revealed in the Son, now at the end he'll be revealed in the bride. Because she has his word and knows what to do with it. She only says what he says and does what he does. See? Now listen, Adam was to have a wife who was to be like unto him and be a helper to him. Secondly, the serpent was so close to Adam, she became his helper in the command to bring forth life. Oh, can't you see Satan standing right there and saying to the church, why, he said, now listen, I'll tell you how to get a lot of souls. Now, look, if you just go on television. Oh, everybody watches television, and you can sneak it right in before all those filthy commercials and all those filthy pictures, and especially on Sunday, to give you a cut rate. Oh, if you just get the money and go on TV, you'll win. Oh, you win all those souls. And the women begin crying and say, oh, God, I'm hungering for souls. And Satan says, honey, do you really want to win souls? Have you noticed you've got a wonderful gift? Little hit, no doubt. You got a wonderful gift. What a great gift you've got. Yeah, see, have you ever seen her on a platform? She ought to be embarrassed to get on the platform before me. Her whole makeup is against going on the platform taking the Word of God. But Satan said, now look, you're sweet and kind and lovely. And you notice how that man looked at you, and he was so impressed with you. Oh. Why, you've got a real gift from God to preach. And she said, have I, Lord? He said, yes. Why? Because the devil is so much like God when he hides himself as an angel of light, just like the serpent was so much like Adam. Why, he said, now, honey, didn't God tell you to reproduce? Why, he certainly, but did he tell you how? No, he didn't. Why, you're just right for it. She was. Maybe got pregnant. Devil can fool you every time. Because she didn't stop to reflect her husband. Because he was reflecting God. Now, if she would have reflected him as he reflected God, then all right. Now, if we'd reflect God as Jesus the Word reflected God and said, I only say those things that he says and do those things that he does, then, oh, we'd be in good shape. But he didn't do that. He had to run off. And she ran off with the Word of God. Hath God truly said, oh, whatever, everything God says is true. Oh, yes, Mr. Servant, I believe everything he said. Yes, the Word of, I believe it cover to cover. Oh, you do. Had it right there. Sure. Anybody, I believe, you don't believe it cover to cover. How can you? Don't even know it says. That's the biggest laugh there is. You think you believe it. Oh, what you mean is you put to the record that you know whatever God meant when he said it. That's true. That's true. Now, what do you mean he said it?
Well, I don't know now. I'm confused. That's true.
What do you want us to mean to multiply?
Oh, that's a good question.
And God told you to do it?
Yeah.
Didn't tell you how?
No.
Now, everything God says is wonderful and lovely. That's, oh, yes. And nothing he made evil. Oh, that's right. So therefore, if you do this, and I show you, then it's all right. Oh, yes, 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 it's all right.
There's your Pentecostal women preacher. You really search right, didn't you?
Maybe not quite that dramatic, but much more dramatic.
See?
Maybe not that sarcastic, but that much more terrible. See? The serpent was so close to Adam, she became his helper, and brought forth his seed. Now listen, Adam could not bring life alone. Neither does God. Neither does God. You have to come into Christ the bride or you'll never make it. God has ordained salvation by the preaching of his word by men. Adam could not bring life alone, so in obeying the word, in a wrong season, with an adulteress, he himself was sold into death and sold every future son of God into death. That's exactly what I said the other day. When you take the word of God too late,
follow
Methodism? What about Lutheranism? They got more Lutherans today than they ever had, and they're dead. They've got more Methodists than they ever had. They're dead. They've got more Pentecostals than they're dead because they're taking the word too late. God is easy. It's dead manna. The word of God's been fulfilled. You can't raise it up. Let's crucify Christ again upon a cross. You can't crucify him upon a cross. It's been done. But you can't crucify him afresh. How? By denying the word at the end time when he comes down as a pillar of fire and absolutely proves that it's Jesus Christ himself that was in the flesh is here today doing what he did. It's gone. They turn it down. They've done it again. Not by Isaiah 53. Hebrews 6. See the picture? Adam. That's why Adam fell. He didn't fall by disobedience to God. Brother, sister, don't you know in the Greek, as I taught you here, disobedience means blindness. They don't understand the word being disobedient through ignorance. If you don't know what's in your day, you're called disobedient. Adam, by taking the commandment of God to multiply, which Brother Branham says on two tapes, God would have let him do it, but he did it at the wrong time. Now what do you got today? You've got people right today getting away in word. They won't look at what's going on. They're looking forward or they're looking back. They say, well, Brother Branham's gone and there's nothing going on. Nobody got a thing. We're looking to the future. Oh, don't tell me I haven't got anything. I got the word. I got the word. Prophet left it. He told me that to put me in the rapture if I was one of them. He told me the thunders were opened in the field. He told me the shout, the first part, was the message. He said that message was the former rain. He said when the Holy Ghost at the end time was, there'd be the two rains at the same time. There'd be the former rain and the Holy Ghost would fall upon it. And he said every word of God, every seed, has within it the full power of transformation. And don't tell me I got nothing. That plant, look, I got a garden up there maybe. All night they fur it over. It's been kind of cold weather. It's been raining and damp. But my seeds are out there. And they say, oh, Brother Dave, you don't got a thing. I say, you must be crazy. I kind of seed up there. Well, but Brother Dale, I don't see a thing. Well, I don't care. I got my seed out there. Well, but Brother Dale, you better dig up. I say, oh, you got to be sick. Shut up and leave me alone. The Bible done said a man plants the grain and he sleeps day and night. He just has to sit there. Why? Because the earth will bring forth of itself. God made it that way. God set the rules in order. Don't tell me I ain't got nothing. Maybe you ain't got a thing. I've been dreaming of the pond. I'm getting washed in the water. Putting my toes in like, ooh, man, that feels good. Man, I like that. The try my ankle. Ooh, boy, that feels better. I'm about up here to my knees now. One of these days I'll be swimming. See? Sure. I know what they're talking about. I know what I'm talking about. We know what we're talking about. I wonder if we're getting this. I wonder if we understand this. Let's go to Romans, the seventh chapter now. We had the fifth chapter. Let's go to Romans, the seventh now. You see this. 7 to 14. What should we say then? Is the law of sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. You think Adam could have known sin but by the word of God? Certainly not. For if I had not, and I had not known lust, except the law said, thou shalt not covet. But sin taking occasion by the commandment wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, for without the law sin was dead. For I was alive without law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment which was ordained to life I found to be unto death. For sin taking occasion by the commandment deceived me and threw me. Wherefore the law is holy and commandment holy and just and good. What was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin that it might appear sin working death in me by that which is good. That sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. And what am I trying to bring out here? The fact that Adam said, what I mentioned here, God said be fruitful and multiply. That's right, God said it. God did say it. No doubt about it, God said it. But didn't tell him when. Didn't tell him how. But he said, you're going to do it. Now you wait until that time. But he got ahead of it at the wrong time, at the wrong place, and brought forth death. Okay? The commandment which was unto life brought forth death. That's what Paul said here. See? See? Well, now, Brother Dale, see, now, I don't know if I like that because, you see, that puts us in a terrible spot. You bet it does. What about Israel? They had the word of God, Messiah come, and he's going to bring you a kingdom. But it also said the Gentiles would be a part of that kingdom, not ruled by Israel, but ruling in the kingdom. And the Gentiles hadn't come in because Christ has got to die. So they said, well, forget about Christ dying. Oh, no, we can't take that. No, no, no. No, no, no. The word for the day was death. They said, no, we will not take it. That's a lie. He's an imposter. He's twisting the scripture. Forget it. The sufferings of Isaiah are the sufferings of poor Israel itself. Now, they said, over here in Isaiah said there's going to be a kingdom, and we're going to reign. Now, we'll take that. They lose both. They lose both. They lost the Savior, and only 144,000 will go into the kingdom. See? And the few at the beginning in the bride, they lose it both. Why? Because the perfectly good word of God was interpreted out of place and time and season, so it can't come to pass. Now here we plant stuff in the spring. You don't look at that and say, well, tomorrow morning I'll have beans. You say, no, by the middle of July we'll have beans. Why? Because you know that's when it's going to come in. Sure, you talk about a cow. She's going to calf when? Well, she'll calf several months from now. See? You'll say, well, cow, you've been with the bull. Tomorrow morning you'll have a calf. You know, you're not crazy. Yet people won't look at the Word this way. The Word of God is a seed. And it's got to be planted in the season to bring forth what God wants at that season. Now, God told Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. But it wasn't the time or the season. They did it out of place. See, that's what people can't understand today. Well, didn't God say to pray for all the sick? No, He did not say to pray for all the sick. He told you here in the book of 1 Corinthians that if you live in sin, God will judge you. Then don't you dare come if you have to ask prayer until you know your sins are cleared away. You made every right in your heart, thing in your heart that's right, and you're walking towards your fellow man in grace. See? See, people keep coming. And these good old buddies with gifts of healing, they take the thing right off. They take the sickness off. And the Bible said, beware lest the worst thing come upon you. I had ulcers. I didn't know that ulcers were caused. I knew they were caused by something, but I didn't know what it really was causing. So one day in Holy Dungeon, with my dungeon, that's some kind of a righteous indication. I rose up and I cursed the ulcers, and they disappeared, but a worse thing came upon me. Because they hadn't dealt with the original cause. I told Brother Banks, he said, Brother Dale, that's exactly right. That's why it says that in the Bible. And he said, believe me, it happens. He said, they'll get cured now and get a worse thing. See, why? Misapplying the authority of God. Adam had the authority to multiply, but as soon as she was defiled, he should have backed off and said, hold it, we're all finished. See, he did what Christ did for the bride, but where Christ could follow through and take our guilt and sin, Adam couldn't do it. He became partaker with her, and he died with her. Just by what? Obeying the Word of God. That Word became death. Sure. Look at many a man, many women, they married the wrong people. You did the right thing by getting married. The Bible commands you get married. Go to some old JP, wrong fit, first one. Took a drink of booze that night, got the wrong gal. Now, let's face it, you did the right thing. You're supposed to get married. And how come you messed up? Because you did the right thing in the wrong way with the wrong person. Now you take the Word of God and you pull it out of its place or out of its time, you are just as big a sinner as the man that went out and murdered. Now you can't tell anybody but the bride that. Nobody will believe this but the bride. You people, thank God you're stupid enough and smart enough at the same time to believe it, because I'm telling you the truth, because that's what Brother Branham taught. It's in the Word. It's all over the Word of God. It's full of it. See? Now, notice here, she had the commandment to bring life, and she was made for the man to bring his life, given to Adam to reproduce himself. Now listen, that's what she was for. And she did it, and was cursed for it. Well, I'm winning souls, ain't I? I want to tell you, maybe you Branham, or you guys are such stuffed shirts like Brother Branham, so full of condemnation. You don't like us businessmen up there in that pulpit. But I want to tell you, we're winning souls for God. We're doing it, ain't we? So did he. So did he. Go ahead. Shows what you are. Bring forth your bastard. Just what Jesus said to the Pharisees. He said, you circumnavigate the whole globe and bring forth a child of hell 10 times worse than you are. Go ahead. I know people can't savvy this. This is hard to understand. And the only reason I understand this message at all is because I know what the prophet said. That's all. I couldn't preach like this. I'd feel a perfect fool talking like this. I'd say, look, what does it matter, bless God, ain't me getting the results? Well, hallelujah, let's push over a bank and give all the money to win souls. We get them for 20 cents a piece, all said. He said, we win souls for 20 cents, so I'll rob the bank. What's the difference than winning souls? Let's have a chicken supper or something. God said, pay your tithe. Let's build a church. Let's promote bonds. He said, give out of your offering. We get enough, build your building. Don't do it till then. Well, we can take shortcuts. We're getting results. What's all this big beef about? Why shouldn't the little nun say, Hail Mary, and confess to the priest, and say the Pope's infallible? She's talking in tongues, isn't she? Prove she's got God, hasn't she? She's got pregnant, too. Anybody can get pregnant. That's the simplest thing in the world. It takes a smart person not to get pregnant. How do they do it? They refrain from intercourse. Don't get with your creeds and dogmas. shut your mind up, shut your womb up
to the Word of God, to what the prophet said.
If she'd have shut her womb up to everybody but Adam, we wouldn't have this trouble.
See?
No, she's, well, it's the Word of God, ain't it? Didn't he tell you to do it? Well, didn't God say go all the world and preach the gospel? And didn't he tell Mary that morning? Didn't she bring the good news? She was the first evangelist.
Paul says, shut up and sit down.
Oh, Paul, woman hater. I love Jesus. Hallelujah, I love Jesus. Now, what are you quoting the rest of Paul for? Well, yeah, well, what it was, just in that one point he was out.
How can you have a perfect Word of God and be out in one point? See? I'm not talking about women, I'm talking about the church.
She was made for the act. She was made for it.
Still, she found. God condemned her.
He condemned Adam for doing it.
The prophet comes along, sets the church in order, gives us a chronological time, tells us what's going on, gives us the tells us what the appearing of Christ is in the bride, shows us the difference. We say, oh, I can't go for that now.
He said he's already come. He said, then if he's already come, then what are you looking for him to come by?
He came back as the Holy Ghost 2,000 years ago. I remember when I read you over here. Did I read you this in the book of Acts this time? In the third chapter, where it says in verse 26, Peter said, unto you first God, having raised up his Son, sent him to bless you.
When did God raise up Jesus and send him to Israel? Tell me, show me. Now, God said he raised up and sent him. When did he send him?
Only 500 saw him. He didn't go to Israel. He was sent back as the Holy Ghost, and he turned him down. Now, he's already come, so don't look for him anymore. He came back then, so shut up about the second coming.
He doesn't come anymore. It's what it is, you go. Instead of him coming, you go to him.
Let's reverse the whole scripture. Let's refuse to understand seasons. Let's refuse to understand time. Let's just be a bunch of balky mules. That's the perfect hybrid. A horse and a horse and a little mule. Is that what they are? A horse and a jackass? Couldn't get there in that, could you? Some jackass for your pappy? Some old prostitute mare for your mother? Yuck. Oh, but I'm a Christian going to go ahead. Oh, boy. I'm made for the act, see. Oh, I'm anointed. I can preach. Oh, yes, sir. People love me. Oh, yeah. Go ahead. Go ahead. So is the devil.
You know, get people to understand this. They won't understand reflecting the word. You got the least idea what I'm talking about. Unless you're bright. If it hadn't been for these, there would have been no act, or her act with the serpent would have been all right. See? If it hadn't been for what I'm telling you about out of season and all, what she did, then her act with the serpent would have been all right, because it was an act that brought forth life.
It was just the wrong one. What are you going to join? Church, church creeds and dogmas, or join Jesus? What are you going to do? Join the word this morning as taught by the prophet, or go your own way?
Now, you can have a lot of fun committing adultery. That's what it's for. Adultery is fun. Not to bring forth children. It's fun. It's gratification. It opens up a whole new world of pleasure to you. And it sends your soul to hell, too.
This is your creeds and dogmas.
Oh, it'll make things so nice. You won't need to worry anymore if it's fish on Friday, does that?
You know. You just have your creeds and dogmas. It's so much simpler.
Oh, it's easy. It makes you so relaxed, too.
Send you to him.
You don't blame me. I was made for it.
Oh, is that so? God blames just the same.
Why, I'm ignorant.
God blames just the same.
No preacher didn't teach the thing. Then why don't you go somewhere you could be gone? You don't talk back to God. Now, Lord, listen to me, said Adam. I'll tell you, you told me that this was the way to multiply, and you wouldn't tell me how to do it. Now, I was taught over here. Is that my fault? Is the church your fault? Why don't you come to me and ask me? Who told you to run? I never said when. See? Boy, didn't God call me to go to Europe and I went at the wrong time. Wouldn't that be great? I went the time when nobody but a fool goes. Peak tourist season, everybody's on vacation. So I sneak in the back door. I'm absolutely certain that God told me to go at that time. Not this time, not another time, but that time. Well, Brother Dale, did you set Europe upside down? Didn't intend to. I hope he's sitting right side up without turning anybody upside down. Even nations forget that nonsense. Well, did you have big crowds? Were you a big shot? No, it wasn't any big shot. It was a small shot.
Just call me Buck for Buckshot.
No howitzer. 30 millimeter can or something. All this nonsense. What are you talking about? I might go one place and find one person.
See? Oh, my, I hope you see this. This is all so beautiful. See? Now, remember, her act with the serpent would have been all right. But it wasn't.
But can the Word of God bring about sin? No, it wasn't the Word that caused her to do it. The Word condemned her for doing it, but what caused it was she took the Word of God and obeyed it by a wrong revelation at the wrong time.
Right.
What about today?
He has not lived and never died. So on. See?
So the command that was to bring life brought death because the Word was perverted. There are your two trees. So Eve, instead of reflecting Adam, now listen, reflected the serpent. And Adam, instead of reflecting God, the Word, reflected Eve because he listened to her. He listened to her, and Eve listened to the serpent. Eve reflected the serpent, and Adam reflected Eve. Now, what more could you get for being awful?
That's right.
He turned right around and reflected earth. Now, and that's what the church is doing. They turned the Word of God down, so now they become their own law, their own church, and they set organization up, and they say, now that's God. Now then, God, you reflect us, because we're in the driver's seat, anarchy. There's your modern Eve, right today. Now, here is where we see the truth on reflecting God in 2 Corinthians, that third chapter, verse 18. Moses reflected the pillar of fire, which was the Logos, which was the Word, which was Christ. He's reflecting the Word. Jesus was the Word, and he was the Word incarnate. So therefore the man reflected God perfectly, what Adam failed to do, because he said, only what I see my Father do, that I do, and what I hear him say, that I say. And had Adam only watched God, he would have reproduced perfectly and brought forth those children correctly according to the Word of God. But he wouldn't do it. See? All the way through. Notice, Jesus is the Word, and you can read this for yourself. Well, I'll read it for you. Over here in John, not 12 o'clock yet, it's only half past 7, I think I can finish by, I'm sure I can finish by 12 o'clock, at least tomorrow, tonight 12 o'clock, not earlier. I didn't say it was 12 o'clock, you got to watch that, you see. It's like the Bible doesn't say those things that lead to mature. Alright, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same was in the beginning with God, that's where Adam was, hidden him. All things were made by him, so Adam was. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. Verse 14, and that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of truth. What did they behold? They beheld Jesus, who reflected God the Word, because he was that Word. He reflected him. We beheld the glory of God. Now what did they behold? What is the glory of God? Man is the glory of God. What man? Christ Jesus. What was he? He was the Word. And the woman is supposed to reflect the man. See? The Word. Now, Revelation, the first chapter. 10 to 20. We won't need to read it all, perhaps. I was in the Spirit in the Lord's day and heard a voice behind me of the great trumpet saying, I'm Alpha and Omega. Not just Alpha, I'm Omega too. I'm the same one, it's both. The first and last. What thou seest write in the book. Send to the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Pergamos, and so on. I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. What was the seven golden candlesticks? It was the bride in every age for seven ages. And in the midst of that candlestick, there was the Son of Man. Like to the Son of Man in the Greek means saying the same thing. Jesus Christ speaking in the bride. The Spirit and the bride say, come. If you're true bride, you're going to say what the Spirit says, which you'll say what the Word says, which is God. Now, his hair was white like wool, white as snow, eyes like fire, feet like brass. His voice is sound in many waters. Now, this is Christ in the church. This is not the pillar of fire coming down to earth now. This is Christ in the bride, what he's like. That word of God, judging continuously. Though he's yet to come back, of course, as a judge. Now, he's got seven stars in his right hand. He's got the sharp, the word of God, because he alone has the word. I saw him, I fell at his feet like one dead. And then a voice said, I'm alive forevermore. I'm the amen. I got the keys to hell and death. And he said, write the things that you've seen. And that'll be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars that you saw in the seven candlesticks, they are the church in the seven church ages, and the stars are the seven messengers who say what God says by the word to the church in every age. And remember, that church is to absolutely reflect the Christ in her, which is the word. Because remember, he turned to hear it to see the voice. He didn't turn to see a man. He turned to see the voice, which is a spiritually revealed word of God. And the church, which is a candlestick, is supposed to reflect the light of the word in the church. Christ does not reflect the bride. The bride is to reflect Christ. The bride never says, Lord, do this, Lord, do that. The bride is not saying, give me this, give me that. She's not always praying, do this and do that. She is praying, as Brother Branham said, and I've said for years, her prayer is to get in position whereby she listens to Christ and becomes what Christ wants her to be. Not saying, oh God, make me this, make me that, do this, here, there, here, there. No, it's, oh God, work on me until I become one with thee to manifest thy word, and I'll say what you say and do what you do. How many praying that kind of a prayer? Oh God, send the fire, hallelujah, and bring this in, oh God, hallelujah, give me this energizing, and all this, oh God, oh, shut up your sin. Why don't you read the Bible? Everybody wants a big gift. Everybody wants a great ministry. Urania said there'd be hundreds of gifts set in the church. Just hold your finger there in Revelation. Let's go back and see if I'm telling you the truth or not. In the 12th chapter of the book of Romans, here's what it says on gifts. It says here, beginning in verse 4, we have many members in one body. All members have not the same office. So we being many are one member, one body in Christ. And every one members one of another. How many hands do you need? Two. Then why do you want four? We had one prophet. Then why do you want more? Everybody wants more. Six eyes, 6 feet, 10 noses. Hogwash. These ministry members make up the entire body. Everyone's got a body as a member. Everyone's got an office, said Paul. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every member one of another. You're one of another. When Brother Branham said that Jesus Christ brought forth another branch at the end of the time, it would be exactly Pentecost, and he said Christ was manifested in the church, the body was producing it. He was that prophet producing it. And if he is a prophet and a member of that body, then the body produces. Because what my mouth produces, my body produces. What my hand produces, my body produces. What my ears produce, my body produces. It was produced in the body. Everybody wants something. Forget it. Let God have his way. It's found in simplicity. Now, having gifts then differing according to grace that is given us, whether prophecy will prophesy according to proportion of faith. Everybody else will prophesy, most people prophesy outside the proportion of faith. Thus saith the Lord, my little children, I'm going to visit you at this. No, forget it. If you got any prophecies in you, and you'll have the measure of faith to go with it, it'll say, thus saith the Lord, tomorrow move away from that street, there's going to be an earthquake. You've got that kind of a faith, you're a prophet. That is not a word prophet, you're just a little prophet in the church. Not a prophet, you just got to get the prophecy. You're not even a prophet, you just got to get the prophecy, because that's what it says here. See? You got to have that kind of a faith. Or a ministry, wait on the ministries. Or a teaching, wait on teaching. He that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth. Oh Lord, I want a gift of miracles. Maybe he wants to have you give you a gift of healing. I mean, a gift of giving. Ooh, I didn't know that was a gift. Or read your Bible, it says so. There's a gift of ruling. There's a gift of showing mercy. Now where are you saying? Now how is the bride going to reflect Jesus Christ when she's all messed up with 1 Corinthians 12, doesn't know what it says? Women all messed up and don't know what it's saying. She's the church. Well, I'm ignorant. Then you just stay ignorant. You won't take it. Just toss it. Just be ignorant. Go ahead and be ignorant. You said you cut your hairs. I want you to know, there's no contention in our churches about this subject. He said, we just don't cut hair. See? Christ, the Word, reflected in the bride. She's reflecting that word, see? Notice over here in Revelation, the 5th chapter. I think it is. Might not be. I might have got the wrong verse. Yeah, I got the wrong verse. That's okay. See, Jesus was a spiritual one. Adam was a physical one. The Word is the spiritual part. We are the physical. And you can never please God in the flesh, only in the Spirit, which would be one of that Word. That's where the bride is, see? Because he's in those candlesticks. Now, see Moses again. It was the Word that was reflected. Nothing but the pillar of fire, because the pillar of fire is Logos, which is God. Bringing his covenant Word could do that. God brought the Word to Moses. It brought forth a reflection. We saw God reflected. God the Word reflected in Moses. We saw God the Word reflected in William Branham. There it was. So Moses came down as the Word for his day with the Word. Moses was the Word for his day with the Word. That's why Jesus said, Paul said, whenever Moses is read, the veil's on the face. Whenever I preach Branham, the veil is on the face, over the mind, to the world. They can't even take preaching Branham. Yet they'll preach the myth, they'll preach this one, that one that's dead. They'll preach their own stupid thoughts. They won't preach a vindicated man. See? No, that's terrible to identify. Yet they find no trouble saying, I'm a Christian, I'm born again, I'm proud of the bride. I doubt it. You're not quoting the original prophet, God, who gave the word to Adam and Eve, be replenish and multiply, but watch yourself, don't do it ahead of time. Don't go trying to do it. William Branham said, it's coming, but don't you try to make it come. Don't you get ahead. Well, I can't take that because look, there ain't nothing to it. I'm going to listen to this other fellow out here. Satan, where are you? Satan, where are you? Satan. Well, here I am. Well, I'm one of the members with you. I've been going to Brother Branham's church here. In fact, when he preached, I used to cry and sob and just get old, just terribly wrought up because I knew something. He was going to die, and of course his mantle had fallen. And I'm glad you came in. Yes. Yes, yes, those preachers are wrong. Nobody has a thing. Nobody. But it'll come to my church. Yes, yes. I'll stick to you. Did the prophet say that? Now, why'd you listen? You got a Nicolaitan, you got a Laodicean bird running around here to get you under bondage. You came out of bondage. Why do you want to go back? See? Nicolaitan people, it's years. Oh, but he's so sweet, and he gets so emotional. And brother, you're so sarcastic. Oh, yeah, I'm glad sarcastic. You won't bother listening, except the word. I don't kid myself. I don't have hardly a friend in the world because of the way I am. But I got the word, and they come and hear the word, and they love the word, and I love that. And I said, here you are. What have I got to tell you? Nothing. I got no business telling you anything. But if I tell you the word, then you got to listen. If it came, as I say, if a diamond came in a cesspool of swill, you reach in and get the diamond. I'm no cesspool of swill. I hope I got the diamond of the word of God. As long as I stick with the prophet said, I know I got the word. See, there's no doubt about it. If I say what he said, and I can take the scripture and tack it down line by line, I know I'm on the right course. See, there's no problem there. I can read a roadmap. I can read the word that way, see. That's what God told us to do. Not to give you our own thinking. Our own thinking won't matter, see. So Moses came down as the word for his day and with the word. That's almost quoting Brother Branham verbatim. He reflected God the word. That is why Moses was manifested before the people. Because he reflected the word of God. He was the approved one. Jesus of Nazareth approved of God amongst you. How is God Almighty going to then work for the prophet except you approve amongst the people? Approve how? God's way of approvement. Not man's way. God approved. See? When a man receives that spiritually revealed word, he will reflect God. And not until. When a man receives the spiritually revealed word, then he will reflect God. The minute that Adam refused the spiritually revealed word and took the revelation outside of the Holy Ghost, he stopped reflecting God that minute. We've had nothing but sin and death in the race. As long as Adam and Eve stayed with the word, they reflected God. Perverted it, they died. He listened to her and died too. Now we are at Revelation 10:1-7. In the days of the voice of the seventh church age messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished.
perfected and consummated, as God had declared the gospel by His servants the prophets. It's all going to wind up. It's all going to be over. There's going to be a bride standing on this earth that's going to be caught up in the resurrection to the marriage supper of the Lamb, who will come back and reign and rule with Jesus Christ. And it's absolutely going to be over in these days. Christ, the pillar of fire, comes down. The Logos of Almighty God revealed once more to restore the Word to the bride. To what end? That she may be, as we've taught you so many times, in 2 Corinthians 11, she may be a virgin of that Word, not a rock and roll prostitute. She's going to have long hair right down her back. Right. She's going to be young. She can't be old because she's got to be restored to the original Word of her youth. She was a beautiful young woman. Perfectly. God doesn't espouse a baby. He takes a full-grown virgin, 18, 19-year-old, that's her age, and she's espoused to Christ in the fullness of the glory of her beauty as she came out of Christ reflecting Adam, because he reflected God. See? She took His Word and reflected Adam, who in turn was reflecting God, and she was one with Adam, who was one with God, and she was thereby one with God through her Adam, which was Christ. Now the same thing appears once more. She goes back to the Word of her youth, because the Bible said the eagle shall renew, you'll renew your youth like the eagle. And there he beats at all these old fetters and rubs his eyes against the wall of dirt and sand and stone. And there he literally squirms in that water. You see, he flies on high. He's an eagle in the Orient, and there's a water down below. There's a river or a lake, and he gets as high as he can do, and then he folds his wings and plummets and hits one. Shoom! When he hits the water, all the old feathers fly out. He's completely naked. Scales fall off his eyes. And there, he cannot fly until his feathers come back in, and he's the ugliest looking duck he ever saw. They look at that old eagle all plucked on. Well, he's a man. He walks up and under a bank. He can't stretch his arms. He can't fly. That's the way the bride is. You got to hit that water. You got to hit it so hard, it knocks everything out of you but the wind. Everything but the Holy Ghost leaves you. Your old pre-organized thoughts, your old ways, everything goes. See, you don't question the prophet of God. You just hit that water of the Word, and it knocks all the old feathers out. And then you don't worry trying to get new feathers by sticking them in, like the crow that tried to be a peacock. No, you don't do that. You let the new feathers grow by the new seed that's in you. See? That brings forth the resurrection. See? It's a restoration. 2 Corinthians 11. Paul said, I have espoused you to Christ as a virgin of the Word. And we've got to return to that. Now, how will the bride reflect her husband? Only by the Word. She was to reflect him by being pregnant by him. That's right. She was given to be a helpmeet. What for? To help him reproduce. She was to get pregnant by him. When the early church was pregnant by the Word of God, her womb was absolutely closed, and so was the church door, for no man durst join himself. And they sat on solemn porch, and no man durst join himself. And when Simon the sorcerer tried to come in, Ananias and Sapphira came in to defile the church, they dropped dead. When Simon the sorcerer tried to upset the little work down there in Samaria, he was kicked out. Wasn't kicked out, the Word of God put him out. See? She reflected the Word. See? By every word spiritually revealed, she reflected him. Acting on it apart from revelation will destroy her. That's where she got destroyed. That's why I keep repeating what the prophet said. I don't know what the future holds. I only know one thing. When the bride acts according to the spiritually revealed Word of Almighty God in her, that's thus saith the Lord. She won't have to say thus saith the Lord. That is thus saith the Lord. I never say, this is the Bible, this is the Bible, this is the Bible. I say, notice this book, you know what it is. I pick it up, you know what it is. Bride doesn't have to say, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. Not as far as I know. Maybe she will. I don't think it's necessary. She'll just have it. Just like you having money to go down and pay for your dinner or buy a loaf of bread. You say, I got money. Hey, I got money. Woo-hoo! I got money in the back. Woo-hoo-hoo! It's time to pay for the bread. You put it on the counter because you got it. Say, Mr. Storm, I got the money. Boy, she's kind of nuts, isn't she? Or you might say, well, your credit card will do. Not with God. He doesn't give credit. You've got to take that spiritual view of words. So I say when she's got that in her, it doesn't have to be a big, won't be a big show. It won't be a big fanfare. She won't be spouting off. She'll just have it. That's right. Maybe these smart cream puff boys flex them up to show how pretty they are.
stupid looking jerk.
not God's people. It ain't about flexing them up, though, you know. I'm going to have a great ministry. A fella told me here, because God showed me I'm going to have a greater ministry than Lord Roberts. I laughed. I said, he's a poor guy. Don't even talk to him. I never heard from him since. A guy came by when I was in Florida and said, you know, brother, God told me that I was to have the same building in West Palm Beach that you got for Brother Branham, and we're going to have a great meeting because he told me I got several gifts of spirit and so on. I said, son, look, I said, I don't know what God told you. He didn't tell me that, but I'll tell you one thing. He was testing me, see. I said, look, I said, you come to my church, I'll give you a week's meeting. And if God's what you say is, he'll move us to that building. But I said, I got no revelation on it. He felt flaring a pancake. And I said, hurt him. She's like the little simple girl, you know, kind of halfway. She got an engagement ring one day, and so she was too embarrassed to tell folks you like this. The wrong hand, this hand, sorry. Oh, Lord. You ever see Brother Branner dance? Well, it's all right. I don't want to laugh at him. It's nice to laugh with him, but my Lord, that's it. Every word spiritually revealed for acting on the word apart from revelation will destroy her. Eve acted on the word apart from revelation with the wrong one destroying her. She only knows what he says and moves when he tells her to move. She will reflect his name by being baptized in his name, for she knows that he is one God. There's one God. She will accept the doctrine, which is what the prophet taught. She'll not be busy trying to figure out her own. She'll believe what he said, accept it, and see it in the word. She won't reflect a creed or a dogma, because all she has is the word. She'll not stand for any creed or dogma. She'll say, what does the word say? What has the prophet said about it? Is it spiritually revealed? Is it correctly interpreted? Has God manifested it? What are you talking about? I'm staying with the prophet. See, because God is the prophet. She won't reflect a creed or a dogma. The Baptists reflect the Baptist. They don't believe in him. Now, if you're going to be a good Baptist, you can't believe in him, and you're called Pentecost. You've got to reflect the Baptist. If you're a Methodist, you'll reflect what the Methodists say. If you're a Presbyterian, you'll reflect what the Presbyterians say. Why? Because you took into your womb that word, which becomes a part of you, which is life, which becomes your life, which is not Christ-like. You'll never produce anything but a Methodist or a Baptist Presbyterian. See? Now, if you're going to produce Christ, if you're going to be virgin bride, if you're going to be in that rapture, you're going to have to be one of him. You're going to have to take that word. And spiritually revealed, as it was by the prophet, take his explanation and wait for the Holy Ghost to bring it into full revelation in your life. Then there is going to be in the bride a spiritually revealed word bride, and she'll reflect Christ all the way, you see. Pentecost reflects Pentecost. Lutherans reflect Lutherans. But what do they reflect? The Baptists reflect the deadness that Smith left. The Lutherans reflect the death that Luther left. The Methodists reflect the death that Wesleyans left. The Pentecostals reflect the death that Pentecost left. But the bride today can only reflect the life of Christ, because there's no death in her. For she has a spiritually revealed word, which will overcome death and she rise to be the Lord. She reflects the word. How are we going to reflect the word? Because the word said there'll be some standing here which will not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. They're going to see in reality what Peter, James, and John saw in a vision. They're going to see what Paul preached. He said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. They're going to reflect that word. Why? Because they have it. Spiritually. And notice they don't have any date. They say, we believe it'll be over by 77, but they don't say that they know. They don't say it's going to happen this time or that time. They're not wild with guessing, because God hasn't told them. They're waiting for him to speak. She won't try to make Adam reflect her. Preachers are doing that now. They're trying to make Brother Branham reflect them. They're not reflecting Brother Branham in the word, which he got from God. They're using him to build little kingdoms. See? She will get her members to Christ and not the church. See, people want to get members to creeds and dogmas. Right now, you've got people around here that they can't understand you because you're just not on fire to get a lot of folk in. Now, look, you've got to be on fire to testify, that's right. You've got to be on fire with the word, that's true. But you don't get on fire to make people one of you. You just present the word and say, here's the lovely food, would you care to eat with us?
But don't go back to that old nonsense of trying to make members of Christ. Now, I think artificial insemination is just the same as adultery. I know a young boy down south that never heard such a thing in my life. His mother wanting a child, and her husband being unable to bring about a child, she and talked to him, and he allowed a man to come into his house and sleep with his wife and bring forth a bastard child. That's what the church is doing right now. You talk about filth. How in the world are you going to bring forth a child of God outside of Jesus Christ himself being the father of that child? The only part you got is bringing that word. You can't impregnate that person. Brother Branham said, when you try twice, don't try it again. We're not here to sell anybody anything. Certainly bring the word. Let the people know there's a prophet. But brother, sister, to bring people in and call that a mark of grace and all. As I said one time before, we are the funniest people. Well, usually when somebody comes and joins the ranks, everybody screams and hollers, goody, goody, goody. And we look kind of suspicious. I wonder if he really believes. Do you think he's really one of us? I'm going to tell you something. That's healthy. If you do it the right way. If you do it the wrong way, you say, well, the door of grace is closed. God can't do a thing. No. Brother Branham said, I don't know it could be. We don't know it could be. You just keep bringing that word and then watch if they keep taking that word. You know. Like young brother Andy told us how they thought they had somebody believing the word in the South Bend. They found that nobody did. One thing. Brother Ned Iverson told me long ago, he said, man, he said, that fella he's got there at his pastor, he don't believe nothing before. Didn't need it. Tried to sell the church and take the money. But they found that the little writing in the bottom of the printed page said, you can't have it, honey. Yeah. That's what Jesus said about the men. He said, you may think you can steal it, but you can't do it. Because they'll come to that wedding somewhere and say, I like it. I'm in this feast. They say, no, you haven't got the garment. Just outside from you. She won't try to make God reflect her like he did. See? The bride won't. No, she'll say, what is the prophecy? What is that word? I love it. I don't understand it. But now, I've got some thoughts here, and I don't think Brother Branham really meant that predestination was where God did something about it. You see, he just knew it would happen. How can you know anything will happen if something's going to make it happen? I'd like to see you women here. I know you like a smell of roast in the oven here, and Bill's got one in her oven, so we're going to eat sometime today. But I'd just love to have you and say, hey, we're going to eat. And I say, where's the food? Oh, well, yeah, we're going to eat anyway. Ooh, mama. Poor Don and Gail, they sure married a couple of nuts. The only way they know they're going to be roasted is because they put the roast in the oven. Their foreknowledge is based upon the fact of the law. So is God. Don't try to make God some simpleton. Can't do it. See? My. See? Eve said, I've gotten the man from the Lord. I've gotten the man from God. She said, God, you're going to reflect me whether you want or not. You told me to multiply. And here I'm multiplying. So here he is. I've gotten the man from God. He said, shut up and sit down. Oh, yeah. I went through the motions. You ever hear these preachers say, now, son, you want to be saved, don't you? Well, I wouldn't like to go to hell, that's right. Well, let me tell you something. The Bible says here, now that all men have sinned, come short of the glory of God. Have you sinned? Yes, I've sinned. Yes. Oh, yes. I'm a sinner. You admit you're a sinner? Yes, I'm a sinner. Now, look over here. It said, he had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Where are the sins of God? Where are your sins then? Well, I don't know. They're on. Now, listen, son. I want to read the Bible again. It said, he has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Are you one of the all? Yeah, I'm one of the all. Now, what has God done? He has laid on him. Who's him? That's Jesus. All right, now, son, where are your sins? They're on Jesus. Glory to God, you're saved. You a liar. No more saved than the dead, don't. How do you make the Bible say? The Bible didn't say that. Jesus Christ is a revelation. You don't even know him till you're born again and the Holy Ghost reveals him to you. It's an experience. The Word of God becomes real because it is real. It becomes light because it is light. But it's death if you take it wrong. See? I've gotten the man in the law.
I've got a lot of healings here. Well, Lord, I think you made a mistake. I missed that first resurrection. I don't know how I did it. I just can't figure it. Because, see, I've had this tent for years, and I've had many, many miracles, and I've had great prayer life, and I've had great altar call. And now, I think you made a mistake.
No, you made a mistake. Did you work iniquity?
No.
You understand. You've got to be real sweet to Jesus, because, you see, he's the authority. Now, I just a little misunderstanding here. I'm sure you'll see it my way. See, look, didn't you say to cast the devil? And I didn't. Yeah. Didn't you say to lay hands on sick they recovered?
Yeah.
But, come here. Yeah. What were you doing the night he laid hands on you and you got healing?
Well, I was a Pentecostal preacher, but I had another man's wife.
Is there any word for that man to be healed until he repents and makes it right?
No.
So why'd you heal him?
I thought this way. I didn't even know he was doing it. But if I had known, I could have thought this way. The goodness of the Lord leadeth thee to repentance. And when he saw the goodness of God, and he'd see how good God was and gracious, and his sickness was taken off, then I was quite sure he'd follow the Lord.
Oh, yeah? Now, where's that in the Bible?
See? I've gotten in the hands of the Lord. Why, I can prove it. Here he is. Why, look at this.
Boy, she was right, too, because it's the law. Certainly God heals everybody and everything. Certainly when a man's healed, it's God doing it, it's not the devil. Certainly that woman, that son came from God and by a law that God laid down. But did God tell them?
No.
See? Now listen, she will not claim like Eve, I've gotten a man from God. They all claim to be right here on earth right today. But she will stay with the word that came by the prophet. Now notice, at the first I said, Adam went out of line in the time element due to his bride. Now watch. Why? Because she came to him as a fully developed bride. She was the total membership of the bride. In one act she fell, all of her. But Jesus' bride is made up of many members over the centuries. She will not come to full maturity until the last one comes in. And she will receive the revelation of Hebrews 6 and 4, and she will not fall. She won't fall, because she'll never get organized and get away from the Word. Satan cannot seduce the true bride, because when she comes to full maturity, she has the full revelation of Christ, the full body of truth is made up and manifested in her, she will be one with Christ, the mystery of the Word will be in her, and she'll be caught up to meet the Lord. Eve had the word and did not know what to do with it, but this bride knows by spiritual revelation, and she'll bring forth Christ to the wedding supper. Eve was one with Adam physically, but the bride is one with Christ spiritually. We're not going to be worrying about these other things now. We're worried about the spirit. Great meetings, great this, great that. No, that's all right, but it's not for us. Bride, and she will not fall, because she cannot fall, because the seed remaineth in her, the true seed of God. The voice of the message returns her to a true virgin of the Word, ready for the catching away to the groom, and then the voice of the archangel brings forth the dead. It's all over. As Eve was supposed to bring life to the clay and dust, but fell by hybridization, this one complete identification of the bride will bring forth that resurrection, because the former and latter and reign will bring forth the dead. James 5 says so. I mean, you know that, so I won't explain it. Oh, to get the picture reflecting Christ the Word. How will it come? You've got to receive in your mind first. You've got to take it absolutely as thus saith the Lord God truth, and then it will come forth. See? You've got to receive seed. A woman may get pregnant in 1 minute, but it takes 9 months to bring forth that child. So now, we have been made pregnant by the truth of God. The seed has caught forth in the ground, and it will bring forth fruit. Resurrection fruit in this season. Christ the Word. Jesus said, search the Scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life. That's all it is, you just think. But it says, he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow waters. Not as you think it says, but as the Scripture says. Not as you think it says, but as the prophet revealed it. See? It is not only Jesus reflecting Jesus the Superman, because many reflect Jesus as Superman. Multitudes do. Oh, they reflect the Superman every day. Come and get healed. Come and speak in tongues. See this. See that. God gave me a new car. God gave me a new home. In fact, God gave me a new wife. Oh, they blame everything on the God. It's very delightful, you know. Huh, that's pretty tricky. You talk about the devil being tricky. That this church is tricky as he is. I think he must be your father. There's a mix-up somewhere. Yes, you're very tricky. Oh, God's a Superman. Superman. No. Not just a Superman. Christ, the revealed word, is what the bride reflects. Sure. Because it's he coming for her and with her. Not the Superman. It's the word that becomes super out here to destroy later on. It is not reflecting Jesus, the lovely and lowly Galilean. Because many love that lowly Galilean. Sure they do. They love the fruit of the Spirit. Great fruit. Christian Science can do the same thing. Although there should be fruit there. But who is the bride? A virgin of the word. Only she will go line by line and word by word. Nobody else will. Only she will reflect or confess that word. No one else. Therefore the pillar of fire will be with her, see? For she alone has a right to the tree of life. She alone is word identified. See? God will smite everyone else from reaching that tree of life at the end time. They'll never make it. There's only 144,000 make it and the bride. At the end time, that's all. See? God help us to reflect Christ, the Word, by being a part of it. How do you get a part of the Word? Just like I get a carrot, it becomes a part of me. What do? I eat the carrot, and the natural processes of my body turn the carrot into me. Certainly. Then let me eat this Word by my mind. Let me receive this Word. Bring every thought into captivity. The natural process of the Holy Spirit of God will transform that Word into my life, and my life into that Word, or I don't know what I'm talking about. I got no hope because I can't do it myself. God's going to do it. See, that's true. No one else, for he alone has the right. God will help us to reflect Christ the Word by being a part of it. I know of no other way. This is what I contend is what Brother Branham taught when he said Christ is revealed in simplicity. Christ revealing himself and hiding himself in the saints. Oh, God, the saints, where is that dynamism? Where is this saint? He's hidden. Where is he hidden? In the feet of the Lord. Now, you believe that you want those, you see. You can take and trace anything you want the way you want. I'm not here to compel you to make you think my way. But I've done my best, as I see what the prophet taught. To show you, reflecting this word. Sure there'll be healing. There's got to be healing to reflect Christ. But how do you say to do it? Call the church together and pray. See? If you want, you believe in tongues, interpretation, prophecy, then do what the prophet said. Call a separate meeting and wait on your faces before God until something genuine comes. And if nothing genuine comes, then stay clear of it or you're in a counterfeit. See? The people say this and say that. Say what the prophet did. Do what the prophet did. See? He had the greatest ministry the world's ever seen outside the first days of Jesus Christ. He stood on their platforms and he could have healed everybody in the audience. He had that power. He could have taken each one by the hand and shown them by the hand. He could have read every man's heart, which he could at any time do under the power of the Holy Ghost. And he could have delivered everyone by thus saith the Lord. But he had to do what God told him to do. Why? Because he's one with the Word. He was there at the right time and in the right season. But people are getting impatient today. They're saying, well, I got it. Now, look, if you want it, you can get it. I have one line of advice. And if I'm wrong, I've taught you wrong. I'll try to stand in judgment in your stead for teaching you wrong. But I see only one thing, is to believe this word and let the Holy Ghost fall upon it. And he, in his season, will bring forth the word enough until he can say, I have gotten the man by the Lord. Here he is. The wedding supper alone. I don't believe anybody else but a word bride to do. Brother Branham himself said he came to restore the word. Then what are we looking for? Is that right? We're looking for the word that was restored to be planted. It's planted. He said, I, the Lord, have planted it and water it day and night, lest any man pluck it out of my hand. That's not quite the way the scripture says, but I'm going to quote the way Brother Branham quoted it. Because he knew what he was doing, putting two verses together. Just Paul did it.
And the anointed servant of God can take two scriptures out of the Bible and put them right together by the Holy Ghost. They'll confound you and me. Don't you and me try to do it. They'll chip us. But a prophet of God, see, like God, Brother Branham said, God knowing who you'd be at the end time, he took your great, 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 how many great grandfathers and grandmothers, and brought you down, 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 that two, the sperm and the egg came together, so that God's man at the end time could take that word of God coming from eternity and take those two words, put them together, strike a light, and bring forth the manifestation of God. I believe that, brother, sister, with all my heart. Stay with the word of God. I don't believe we make enough of this word. I don't believe we hear it enough. I don't believe we gear ourselves down to hear enough tapes, to read enough books. We're too busy. We're too Laodicean. We're just hoping that it fits. I believe one of these days, if we're not careful, all of these things that we think we hold to dear will be taken away. Our books will be gone. Maybe our tapes are gone. Then what are we going to do? I don't say this to you to make you feel bad. I talk to myself because I'm a greater offender than you. For I have all my time to devote to it. You have jobs to maintain, but my life is given to it. And I find that I'm distracted so much of the day from putting all my thoughts and all my efforts just on this word. You say, well, brother, there's a figure. No, just to read it. Just let the Spirit come down and shower them. But I've got a job not only to feed my soul, but attempt to lead the people and to see that the scales are not forming back on their eyes. But those scales were wiped away by the prophet applying those unleavened breadcrumbs as the potent. Open our eyes. God help all those scales and that infection to be wiped out once and for all to see the true word of God. Well, the Lord bless you. That's reflecting the word. Don't reflect a creed or a dogma. Stand with the word. And one day that word will stand with you. It's that simple. Amen. Let's rise, shall we? Because we'll have to go. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you, allowed us to come together this morning, Lord, which we have for this time. To study your word, O God, and see it so beautifully revealed here as the prophet taught it to us. Opened our eyes and understanding to how these things could be fully, more fully brought out from the word itself. And then, Lord, pinned down by the Spirit of God in Revelation. Lord, help your people to know there's got to be some place to start. And this has been our starting place, to open our minds to the word of God and to see there was a prophet, to see why. And to start with that, Lord, and then go on and realize the importance of that word once delivered to the saints. Once and for all, by the last age of prophets. And know, Lord God, that this is where we start our reflection. Just like Moses had to start somewhere with that word, unchanging word, engraved in stone, and he brought it down. And he realized that man's heart was harder than the stone upon which the word of God was engraved, and the word couldn't make any headway. The Lord, today, you send a prophet to hew us out, to hammer those hearts into submission, to break up that fallow ground. And Lord, he brought that word, and I believe that word has been sown into us by our minds and by our hearts. And someday, Lord, in spite of the fact that it looks pretty desperate, in spite of the fact it looks pretty chaffy, that if men were to take that chaff today, Lord, and rub it between their hands, they'd say, ah, ain't nothing going on, ain't nobody crying. But glory to God, there's a light moving out of the chaff into the wheat. And it's going to bring forth a harvest because you cannot fail. Oh, merciful God, today, as no matter how chaffy we might look, and how different things might look from what people want them to look, I can only say one thing, Lord, your kingdom is like a man that planted the seed in the ground. And the earth bringeth forth of itself, first a little shoot. And it brings up toward that spike in that stalk, filling the chaff out, and then bringing in the harvest, the golden ear, the grain within the chaff. Lord, this afternoon I'm standing upon it, Lord. I don't know what else to do. I don't know, Lord. I wouldn't know. I've prayed, Lord, I've fasted. I've confessed I've done this, I've done that. God, there is, I don't have my faith and hope in anything except, Lord, the Lord build the house. The foundation of God standeth sure, having you sealed. The Lord knoweth him as your history. He which hath begun a good work will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, God bless each one today. To get rid of every poison, every bit that's in the pot this morning. May the meal of God, the word of God, take away all the poison of the past. May there be not one thing within this little group here, Lord, that's contrary to the word of Almighty God. Not one thought and one desire. Lord, may there be fire in the right place. Not fire in the wrong place, but fire in the right place. May there be everything, O God, according to truth, which I hope we've seen today as never before. Grant it, O Lord, I pray, because, oh, how we want to go forward into this. And unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the all power, and honor and glory through Jesus Christ, our blessed, wonderful Savior, who came back to us to appear amongst us as the revealed, undeniable word, unto you, O Christ, in our midst today, the word of God revealed. we love thee, and may we adorn thee by being gems in your crown. We aspire, Lord, to give thee all the glory. We're not worthy to even try, but we give thee the glory. May you accept it, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.